Once again, Merry Christmas, everybody. It's so good to see all of you. For the past 3 weeks, we've been participating with something called Advent Conspiracy. And I know, again, a lot of you are guests this morning. We're thrilled to have you here. But what you missed out on is that we've joined hundreds of churches from around the world that have said, this year we want to do Christmas differently. We want to really think about what the true meaning of the season is. But more than just mental gymnastics, we want to do something really significant. We want to do something tangible. And we want to live our lives differently. And I don't know if you've ever gotten to this day, this Christmas day, and just thought, gosh, there's got to be more to it than just this. Or how about the whole idea of presents? And you find out that on the 26th, well, forget the 26th, usually by noon on the 25th, it's like, wait, are there any more gifts? Is it really over? All this work, and then, well, I guess we have to get ready for the after Christmas sale and rush back to the mall and go through all that chaos. We said this year we just want to do it differently. We want to really, really sink deep into the meaning of what Advent is all about. And for those of you that are unfamiliar with Advent, other than you hear it at Christmas time, Advent really means the waiting the arrival of. And we're kind of in a unique position in history because on one hand, we know that about 2,000 years ago, there were some people that were awaiting the arrival of the Messiah. And he came. And so it's almost anticlimactic because we know the story, right? Linus read it to us earlier. We know all that stuff in history. And incidentally, one of the things that I love about the Christmas story and what I love about the faith of following Jesus is that it's based on historical reality. It wasn't just that someone had ate a bad breakfast and had some strange dream at night. It wasn't based on some, you know, random occurrence or someone just started writing some important documents. But it's based on historical realities. And 2,000 years ago, approximately, there was a baby born that changed the planet forever. But that's not really the whole story because there's another advent, there's another coming. Jesus left this planet and he said, I'm coming again. And so we're sort of in this in-between, the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ, the now and the not yet. And so we live in this tension, this space between looking back and looking forward. Well, the video pretty much says it all, that we want to worship more. We want to rebel this year and spend less. And I guess if you haven't spent yet, you're in good shape because there's not a whole lot you can do now other than buy an Amazon gift card online, I think. And that this year we want to give presents. Not those kind that you wrap up or that you buy at Target, but our own self, our own life, to be fully present, which is what we talked about last week. And specifically to Jesus, to give him our presence, our heart, our attention, our focus, not just for a moment in time, but really all the days of our lives. So today's word is receive. And before we dive into that, let's pray together. Jesus, I thank you again for your birth and for this celebration. I thank you for the privilege that we have of looking back in time at your first coming, as well as looking forward to your future coming. Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus, we pray. And while we're in this space between, may we fully be present. May we worship you. May we spend less and rebel. May we give you our full attention and presence. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, may everything that happens in this place bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've invited my best friend to kind of help us with this idea of receive. And so I'm going to invite my wife, Heather, to come up and talk about what it means to receive.
And I'm guessing the kids here like to receive too. So if you're 12 and under, you have an opportunity to join me. Come on up. Right in front. Here we go. Adults, you can just eavesdrop. It's okay. It's all right. We won't pretend you're not in the room. And here we go. So, anyone open gifts this morning? Really? What time did you get up? 6 o'clock. One-third. Really? Oh, I'm so sorry. Why are you guys... These guys are probably ready to sleep. Like, we've been up since 1:30 doing gifts. Well, okay, that's fun. What, you too? Okay, six, a little more reasonable. I was up at six too, but, oh, yeah. Six? Wow, it's nap time. All right. Well, so you got to receive some gifts. Very cool. Did you give any cool gifts? Oh, good, good. Just making sure, because that's important too. But this morning, since we're talking about receive, I brought a gift. And so anyone who wants to receive my gift may do so. Anyone. Now, we've scared them into thinking it's about giving. I'm telling you now, you get to receive the gift. You just, it's there. Ah, there you go. You can take it. No, just take it. It's yours. You claimed it. All right. It's all yours. Good job. She received it. Now, because I can offer it, but until she actually took the gift, it wasn't hers. Oh, now look what's happening. That's yours. That is yours. She's sharing your gift. How nice.
Yeah.
So she... Did you? Oh, look! Oh, she's sharing. She's. You don't even have to do your message now. See, don't you love kids? They get it right away. Oh, wait, it's mine now. I will give it away. So yeah, that's the point, guys. It wasn't hers until she took it. Right? I offered it to her, but it could have sat there all day. And you guys are so polite. You'd have just been staring at it, like wondering. Although, who really wanted it? Who really was like, nah, I want it. Yeah, see, I would be like, give me the gift. My birthday's in 5 days, just so you know. Go shop when you're done. So, yeah, I know what it's like. I like to receive too. But, and so there's a gift that's been offered to us. I have a feeling we're going to hear about this gift in a little bit. Am I right? Yeah. The best gift ever in the whole wide world we're going to hear about. But it's not ours until we take it, till we receive it, just like you did. And then you just did the coolest thing by sharing your gift. So thanks for doing that. All right. Now, the adults are going to hear a message, too, and you guys get to eavesdrop on theirs. Okay. I don't think there's candy involved, though, and there's just you guys. All right. Head back to your seats. You're welcome. Aw.
Thank you.
We should tell these good people that we do have a little something for the adults, too, that we're going to give out on the way out. So don't feel too bad that you didn't get a candy cane. We didn't forget you.
I love kids. It's often been said that Christmas is all about kids. And now that we have three teenagers, well, we don't get up at 6 a.m. anymore. In fact, it was a challenge to get in here by 10:30. But you're here. Thanks, guys. We went from, like, midnight to noon it's all changed. It's all different with kids. But one thing I love about kids is they know how to receive gifts. In fact, they're eager to receive gifts, aren't they, parents? Like, give me the gifts. It seems like sometimes as adults we're less likely or willing to receive gifts. I don't know what it is. Sometimes it's pride that gets in the way. Someone offers us something, and no, it's all right, it's okay. I don't need the help. I don't need the gift. No, thanks. Or what's that phrase that we often use when we receive a gift that we're not expecting? You shouldn't have. You didn't have to do that, right? Kids are so different. I've never seen a kid say, no, thanks. I don't really want a gift. You really shouldn't have bought me anything. No, they're just like, great, thanks. And sometimes, is there more? Right? That follows. They're so eager to receive gifts. And I love that there's no reservation. They don't hold anything back. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Or actually, let me rephrase that. James said, I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Actually, that was Jesus, and I have the wrong passage. But I apologize for that. Jesus understood that kids, there's an innocence and there's a sweetness about them. There's a desire to receive. And Jesus said, you have to be like a little child to enter the kingdom. You have to set aside all that pride and all that stuff. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. No gift is yours until you receive it. And, you know, Heather set this gift out, and it was available to any of the kids. And there was that, like, whoa, should I take it? Is it for me? Like, it is. I still remember when I was a young boy, the things that stick in your head. This point was emphasized by the pastor of the church that I went to as a young boy. And he said, you know, a gift is only yours if you receive it. And so he said, I'm going to set a $10 bill right here, and it's there for anyone who wants it. And it just sat there. And it sat there. And I thought, I want it. And my friend next to me is like, I want it. And my mom and dad are like, go get it. I'm like, and finally, my friend got enough gumption, and he went up and he grabbed the $10 bill, and it was real. And he's like, I got 10 bucks. And I thought, why didn't I go get it? But a gift isn't, some of you are like, put that up there now. I'll run. I'll be the first one to get it. A gift isn't yours until you receive it. And there's something really, really important about receiving a gift. Once we receive a gift, then we have to figure out, well, what are we going to do with it? How are we going to spend it? How are we going to play with it? What do we do with this gift? Maybe some of you have received a gift where you're literally like, what is it? I remember one wedding gift we got in particular, and it was like, whoa, what in the world? One of my favorite Bible verses says that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all that he created. You're like, well, what does that exactly mean? Well, it talks about the word of truth. And last week we looked at this word. In the Greek, it's logos. And it often refers to Jesus. In the book of John, John wrote, it says, the word, or Jesus, became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from the start to the finish. And that's what Jesus is. This whole celebration is not just about a little baby. Oh, a cute little baby. But what that baby represented. The story itself is significant. There's incredible details. There's an incredible uniqueness about his birth that we could spend hours discussing this morning. But he came for a purpose. He had an ambition and a purpose in coming to earth that was later filled about 33 years later when he sacrificed and gave his life for us. Chris Rice wrote a song a few years ago called Welcome to Our World. And I was listening to it, just kind of humming the melody. And then I paid attention for the first time to some of the words. As a musician, I tend to gravitate toward the music and not the words so much. But one of the phrases, it says, tiny heart whose blood will save us. And I just about had to pull off to the side of the road. Just thinking about what it would be like to see this little tiny baby and envision this little tiny heart just pumping blood and knowing that that blood would one day be shed for me and for you. A gift that we can choose to receive or reject. Everyone has that choice. 2,000 years later, we have a choice. Do we receive this gift of Jesus? Do we receive his life? Or do we just say, you know, thanks, but no thanks. I've got other things to do. I want to do my own thing. I don't really care so much about this whole God thing. I want to live life my own way. And the fact of the matter, friends, is God honors our choices. He gives you and I a choice. And we can either choose to follow Jesus, or we can choose to just do our own thing. He has a desire that we would follow him, but he gives us that freedom. He gives us that choice. And that choice will follow us through the rest of our lives. On the next slide, it says that to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human descent or a husband's will, but born of God. That when we receive Jesus, we become his children. When we get adopted into his family, he calls us children, and we can call him not just Father, but Daddy. Daddy, the most intimate of terms. That the Creator of the universe wants more than anything else to have a relationship with you. To know you and to love you. And for you to experience that love and experience that gift. Not the Hallmark kind of love, but the deep-seated commitment love that says, I'll do anything for you. Even literally, give my very life for you. to all who received. See that word? That we need to receive a gift. It's not ours until that gift is received and accepted. And then we have to figure out, what do we do with that gift once that takes place? Christmas is all about Jesus leaving heaven to come to earth and to be with us, Emmanuel, and ultimately to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is Christmas. That God created a beautiful planet. He created us. He loved us. And when we screwed up our lives through sin, He sent Jesus to die for us and give us a second chance, a hope, a purpose, and to give us love. And this morning, my challenge to you first and foremost is to receive Jesus. If you've never received the gift, if you've never trusted in Him, if you've never decided to follow Him, if you've never said, yeah, I want to follow the Creator of the universe and experience His love, I encourage you, receive the gift. It's not enough to be born in the United States of America. It's not even enough to come to church once a year, twice a year, or even every Sunday. It's about receiving a gift and following Jesus, letting His love change and transform you. And after you've received Jesus, the challenge then is to receive and love all. If there's one word that best describes God, it's love. He is the definition of love. He's the source of love. Our mission as a church, our purpose for existing is one thing, and that's love. Jesus said the entire law of Moses can be summed up in four words. Love God, love others. That's it. You know that book, the Bible, the big thick one. Four words. Love God, love others. Pretty simple. At least it's simple to articulate. It's not so simple to do on a daily basis because, let's face it, there are some people that we love to love, right? And there are some people that are harder to love, shall we say. Extra grace required. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know that boss when he just drives you nuts, that teacher that gave you that grade you really didn't think, that neighbor that won't take care of his lawn. Maybe it's that family member that you're going to have dinner with today that you're already nervous about spending a whole meal with. There are people in this world that are really, really difficult to love. Sometimes I'm one of those people. Oh, good. I didn't get any amens from that. Got a little nervous. Let's hang out there. But sometimes there are people that are difficult to love. We can be difficult to love at times. And that's why we need to receive Jesus' love and not love people because they deserve it, but because we've been so loved. It's the idea of passing it on. Jenna got this whole box full of candy canes. And I'm glad, maybe her dentist isn't, but I'm glad that she didn't eat all those candy canes herself. You did the right thing. You took it and you're like, wow, look at all these candy canes, a box full of them. I'm going to take them and share them. And that's what we're supposed to do with love. We're supposed to receive it and then we're supposed to share it. It's been said that love isn't love until we give it away. And so my message to you, my encouragement this Christmas is one to receive God's love and then to share it and to love all. Yeah, love all, even the unlovable. In fact, Jesus said, love your enemies. Love those that hate you. As Jesus is hanging on the cross, He's saying, Father, forgive them. He's praying for His very enemies. That's love. And that's not a conditional love that says, I love you if or I love you because of. That's an amazing God love. We love not because we have this great capacity to love. We love because He first loved us. Everything that we do in loving others is a response. It's a reaction to what Jesus has done for us. Jenna didn't bring any candy canes here to pass out to anybody. But once she received the candy canes, she naturally distributed them to other people. In the same way, that's what we're called to do. We're called to love and to love all. To receive and accept people and love them however and whoever they are. Love all people. One of the things that's been really disturbing to me is that followers of Jesus in our culture have not been known for this. We should be the most loving people on the planet. In fact, one of my great desires is that if we ever closed our doors here in this community, that people all around would say, where are those people? They did so much to invest in our community. They did so much to love people. They made a positive impact and now they're gone. That this whole region would be known as a region that's filled with love emanating from Sio Community Church. Instead, we're known for hate. We hate people. We judge people. We do all these terrible things. Or that's at least how people perceive us. But my dream is that we would be known for the love that we've received from Jesus and then the love that we share and pass on to others. I don't know if any of you have ever been to the Hard Rock Cafe, but one of the things, their slogan is love all, serve all. And I thought, why in the world would the Hard Rock Cafe steal our slogan, steal our thunder? Like, this should be our mission, to love all and serve all. And while they have some cool memorabilia and they've got some pretty good food, I pray that we would be known as the people that love all, that receive and accept all, and that we go out of our way to serve all. So this Christmas, my challenge to you is receive the gift and share the gift, to love all. I've got a video that I want to show you. It just talks about this idea of loving and serving. And as the video plays, I just invite you to think about how can you love, particularly as we're about to approach this new year. What things can you do to love? To love even the unlovable. To go the extra mile. To look out for the best interests of others instead of just your own interests. Because that's what Jesus did. It wasn't a convenient thing for him to come to earth. He chose the most inconvenient manner possible. And definitely experienced the most inconvenient death. To demonstrate his love for you and for me. This Christmas, let's love all.